Lord, we come before you. We want to thank you for your kindness to us. You are the creator of our lives, and we were sinners against you, yet in your mercy you have chosen us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his salvation, we can reconnect with you, and Lord, we are so grateful that we have received such a wonderful salvation you provided for us. And this morning, as we come together, we pray that we will study your words. We pray the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will enlighten us, help us to understand, and also to enter into your truth. Your truth will set us free. And Lord, we just give our time, our hearts to you, and we ask you will bless this morning. Be with us. We can really have fellowship with you and with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is how I think every time we will proceed. In the beginning, I will first make a lecture of this lesson. And then, after I finish this page, we can have discussion. If anything you think it's not clear, should be clarified, then we will have a Q&A session afterwards. I think that's the way we will go, okay? So if you have anything not clear, on your notes, you can mark it down, and so we can follow up later on. Let's turn to our Bible. Let's read a few scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read from verse 1 through verse 4, I think. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Okay? And also go to verse 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. till the end, verse 31. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts and the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I will give green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made and was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Let's go to the last book in the Revelation chapter 4. The last book, Revelation chapter 4. We'll read verse 11, from 10 to 11. 10 and 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Okay, I think that's all our scripture reading. In the note, you will see in this class I will make four key points, major points. The first one is differentiation between two words, create and make. These two words used in chapter 1 and Genesis and other places many, many times. And you will see these two words has two different connotations. Create simply means out of nothing, God makes something. You know, in Hebrew chapter 11 verse 3, you will see in your attachment, the Hebrew chapter 11 verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So it simply means that when God used the word create, he used his power, his word. He said it and things come out from energy into material. That's called the creation. He exists nothing before, but now since God commanded and God created, so God has that, only God has that kind of power and wisdom, and everything in it is a mystery to us, how he created the whole universe. You know, we are amazed, but we don't know all the detail because that's beyond our understanding. So that's the word used, translate as create. And then make. Make, this word simply means you use the current material. You change the form, or you go to the woods, cut the tree, and cut the lumber out of it, use the lumber, you make furniture. That's all made. You use existing material, you make something out of it. That's not called create, it's called make. So you differentiate these two words. And in first chapter of Genesis, you will see the creation. This create used only in heaven and earth and in big whale, big fish, and in the human being. Those three instances, Bible use create. Everything else, you will see, it's made. It's made. The other three key points I want to make is the creation of heaven and earth. That's first. Second, the creation of angels. And lastly, the creation of man. So in this lesson, we focus on God's creation, okay, on the three areas. Let's first come to the creation of heaven and earth. God didn't really tell us a lot of detail But I pull out all the scriptures in the Bible mention how God create heaven and earth. So if you turn to the attachment, page 203, you will see I listed a few scriptures there. In Job chapter 38, verse 4 to 7, that's the conversation, because in this book of Job, Job suffered great loss. He was in great pain. He lost his possessions first, and then lost all his family members, and then he encountered pain and suffering in his physical bodies. So then there was a dialogue. His good friends came to visit him, all mentioned that because you have done something wrong, you sinned, so you suffer greatly. So the whole book of Job was a record of his meditation, his conversation with his friend concerning why human beings suffer, especially righteous person, why a good person has to suffer. So that was the whole point of the book. But the interesting thing is, you will see in the beginning of that book, you will see the dialogue between God and Satan. They have a conversation, and the subject was concerning this person, Job, and then how he suffered later on. But finally, many, many questions was surfaced in the conversation with the friends. And God didn't say anything why Job, a righteous person, suffered. Then come to this chapter 38. God finally answered him. And by God also asked questions, you know. Verse 4, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? In other words, all these detailed engineering process is very complicated. You know, by all these questions, you will see when God created the heavens and earth, one simple statement, but all the detail are very, very intricate, very delicate. God never bothered to explain it to us. He knows we, our knowledge base is not that smart to know every detail. So Bible really didn't say too much about how God created the heaven and earth. But look at all these questions. God asked Job, do you know that? Of course, Job cannot answer all these questions. But he described during the process, you will see in verse 7, something happened. While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shout for joy. In other words, there is a heavenly choir, the choir of angels. But at that time, any human being? No. So no human being when God created everything. However, at that time, some being exists here called morning stars in plural number. And then we'll know that these are the angels. You know, the interesting in the whole Genesis mentioned a lot about the angels. You know, angel appeared to Abraham, angel appeared to different people. You saw in the Genesis. But nowhere mentioned when were they created. But it's there. God only used this to tell us the focus of Bible is man. And angels are not the focus. Focus is the main. So the whole Bible focuses on our story, the humankind. With God. So, but here you will see in the early process of creation, angels were singing with God. In other words, that was worship. And the first, the second scripture we read together in the last book, in the book of Revelation, you will see 24 elders. Those are the seniors in the angel realm. They worship God. They took their crown down. They proclaim, "You create everything by the will you created." In other words, all these gigantic universe exist not purposeless, with a specific purpose. God create universe. Okay, so that's a very important declaration. From eternity past to the eternity in the future, that's all for God's glory, and there is a very direct proclamation. So you know the angels were much earlier than human being. You can see early time during the creation process, angels were already there. They worship God. And then you go to the Proverbs chapter 8, verse 27 to verse 31. If you open that chapter, you will see the author try to talk about wisdom. But if you read through that chapter, you will see that wisdom is not an abstract wisdom, it's a personified wisdom. And it's a person. So we know, if you read through that whole book, you will see wisdom actually refer to a person. Who is the person? Jesus. He's the personification of God's wisdom. So let's read it. This wisdom relate to the creation. Okay, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the foundation of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delight in mankind. So from this description, you will see in the process of creation, you see the Father, you see the Son, you also see the Holy Spirit. Where do you see the Holy Spirit? Because in the second verse, God's Spirit hovering around the earth, right? So you will see that's the triune God really very busy at that time in the creation. And Jesus was there. And the translation, you will see some different translator, they have, if you read different version, you will see the differences. In New American Standard, in the first verse, when he marked out the horizon on the surface of the deep, if you read New American Standard, the translation says, when he inscribed a circle on the surface of the deep. The Chinese translation has the circle, but the NIV doesn't reflect that circle. So it's interesting. Way, way back, Bible already revealed it's a circle. You see? That's very interesting. And The other thing is the in this NIV verse 30, the role of Jesus at that time. I was the craftsman at his side. Craftsman. And New American Standard translates as master workman. One Chinese translation says, "工头." I use modern term is chief engineer. Okay, he was the chief engineer. That's the role of Jesus in this whole process of creation. And then the other scripture in the Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, also mentioned about creation. Isaiah 45, 18. For this is what the Lord says, He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. So you will see in this simple verse, God tried to show us the intent of His creation. He did not intend to create something void. He did not intend to create something empty or chaotic. So that's the intention of God. So when He first created, must be ugly or beautiful. How do you know it's beautiful? How do you know the first creation was beautiful? Yes, angels are singing. You don't sing something was ugly, you know. Oh, so ugly, we praise you. That will never be the case. You must see something beautiful, awesome. And then you worship. Then you praise God. You're wonderful. Your creation was so perfect. That's called worship, right? That's the heavenly choir sing because God's creation was so great. That's indicated here, God's intention. And then you come to verse 2, the second verse. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. If you have a study Bible of New International Version, NIV, you will see in the note the translation of this word was has another translation called became. So I put in my notes, I marked out as became. The verb has two meanings. Can be either was or became. But the meaning will be totally different. All right? In order to explain what Bible really means, you have to find other scriptures to either compare with it or to explain it. You know, this principle is called use God's word to explain His words. You don't interpret God's word with human idea. You use God's idea to explain what does He mean. So you always go to other scriptures to find the similarity, the relationship. In the chapter 34 of Isaiah, and God told prophet Isaiah that His word always come in pairs. His word always come in pair. In pair means there's one scripture, you will find another scripture to explain it. That's the Isaiah chapter 34. If you have interest, you can go to that. Okay, then I listed two other scriptures you can compare for yourself to understand this statement. First, if you look at the Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 4. It is the description of Jerusalem. Jeremiah chapter 24, chapter 4, verse 23. Jeremiah saw the destruction of city of God, Jerusalem, because of their sins, and they will not repent. So God's judgment fell on the city of Jerusalem and the Jewish nation. And he cried, and he saw the whole destruction. You will see the phrase he used at that time. Verse 23, I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty. And at the heavens, their lights was gone. So you will see this verse described at that time a beautiful city, the city of God, suddenly changed. But what did he see? Destruction. Total destruction. It was burned down by the Babylonian king. So he cried, he wept, how the temple was gone. The city was totally in ruin. So that's the description. The adjective he used and the verb he used is identical with this chapter 1, verse 2, when God mentioned the status of the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Why? There's something going on, right? When God created, he said, I didn't intend to create something formless and empty. I want to create something habitable. It's a beautiful place supposed to be, and it was totally ruined. So that's, you can compare for yourself. And then you will see the Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26. That was before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Angel was sent to save this family of Lot, and they were talking, and then finally the time was so urgent, the angel dragged them out and warned them, don't look back, just keep on running. They run in the middle of the desert. Suddenly, I always joking, I said, his wife suddenly remember something in the stove. He tried to, I forget to turn off the switch. Just jokingly, see. So he looked back. After she looked back, Bible mentioned a very strange phenomenon happened. What? She became a pillar of salt. If you go to the Holy Land today, the guy will take you to there. So look at that. That's her, but that's for tourist purpose. Nobody knows who that pillar was still there or not. But Bible did say that Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. Don't ask me how that happened, but that's what happened, God says. So you will see that verb is identical with this verb. Okay? So you will see that the translator, when he or she translates this particular word, some occasion to translate was, some occasion, translate, became. So the same verb, okay? But the meaning will be different. When you translate as became, it simply reflect that originally was good and then became something not beautiful, but chaotic and void. So that's the scripture I can find in the Bible and present to you. You can come to your own conclusion. If you, from all these scriptures I listed to you, whether it's in Job or in Proverbs or in Isaiah, all mention about the creation, the intent of God, and the result, you will see something really changed. There was some story, untold story, at least in the Genesis, God didn't tell us what happened. Unless you go to other scriptures, then you will see other stories. That's before humankind. It relate to before human being, that must be the time of angels. And so if you go on, you will see there are two scriptures mentioned about the archangel Lucifer. Let's read it. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 to 17, there was a person, okay? You said in your heart, I will ask, no, I'm sorry, chapter 14, verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once lay low the nations. In King James Version, O morning star, this translation, you will see in King James Version, is O Lucifer. Okay? The meaning of Lucifer, this is the name of that person, is shining star. The meaning of Lucifer, shining star. So Chinese translation didn't translate O Lucifer. Chinese translate the meaning. That's why you will see 明亮之星. That's the shining star. That's the word meaning. And then he said, son of the dawn. So that revealed that his birth must be in the earth, in the God's timing, very, very early. Okay? This person, Lucifer, was created in the early stage of God's time. All these angels were created first. God never tells us when. Okay, in the whole Bible, you don't find it. When was the angelic being created? You don't see that. But from this phrase, we get a hint that they were created first. Okay, way before the universe created, they were there already. Because then from you will see they sing the song, worship God during the creation of heaven and earth. So it means the sequence. These morning star first, these angels early, they serve the Lord. And then God created the heaven and earth. They amaze God's creation, the worship and the sing songs to the Lord. So anyway, something happened to this person, Lucifer. You've been cast down to the earth. In other words, he was punished, right? Thrown to the earth. Why? And verse 13 began the reasoning. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the top of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Okay, so far, how many I's being mentioned? How many? Five, right? What's the similarity among the five I's? He tried to express one key point, all these five statements. I. You summarize this 5 points. I want to be God, or as equal as God, right? Most High. I want to lift up. Okay, in other words, he was the first created in the early stage of God's creation. And God gave him everything. You will see in the later description. But he said, that's not good enough. I want to be as high as God. I want to be God. That's, you summarize this five I's. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depth of the pit. Those who see you stare at you. They ponder your fate. Is this man who shook the earth and made the kingdom tremble, the man who made the world a desert, who overthrew its cities and could not let his captives go home? So in other words, in his casting down, the earth suffered greatly, right? Become a desert, become total destruction. So in other words, this whole thing created chaotic on earth because of his rebellion. This is one scripture talking about the morning star, Lucifer. And then you go to another scripture. In Ezekiel chapter 28, give us more detail about his position at that time. Ezekiel 28, Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre, and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. Look at this word. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mounting were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. In other words, all the beauties, all the good things, the wisdom, position given to this creature, right? You were anointed as a guardian cherub. Tell me, what position is a guardian cherub? You know the description when God revealed the ark to Moses, and you will see the ark as the mercy seat represent the throne of God. And by the two sides of mercy seat, God asked Moses use pure gold to beat two cherubs to guard the glory of God. Remember that? So a cherub simply means there are two cherubs beside God's throne, one on the left, one on the right. They are guarding the glory of God. Then think how high the position in terms of God's throne or God's government. One on the right, hand of God's throne, the other one on the left of God's throne. That means they are in ranking. If God is ranked number one, these two guys, two and three, right? That's how high they were at that time. So that's the position of the. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. So I ordain you, you were on the holy mount of God. You walk among the fiery stone. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness were found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence. You sinned. I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God and expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fairy stones. Your hearts became proud on account of your beauty, your corruption, your wisdom, because of your splendor. So I threw you on the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. This supplement, the Isaiah 14, you will see who is this person. His name is Lucifer, and he has the highest position next to God. He was the cherub, guardian cherub, and he received all the wisdom, beauty, authority, everything good given to him, right? Somehow, he performed pretty well for a long period of time. We don't know how long that was. But one day, he started thinking. This thinking is, I'm so good, I'm so powerful, I'm so beautiful. Why not I become what? God. That's the idea. That's the how everything corrupted. He put himself co-equal with God. He wants to be God. That's the beginning of the falling of this created being. Although he was so good, so beautiful, so perfect, yet through the free will of the angelic being, he purposely chose, rather than submit to God's authority, he wants to establish his own authority. That's the beginning of falling. So that's the reason you will see he was cast down to the earth, and the earth originally was beautiful. And he mentioned, where was he? On a mount, right? Where God's authority is. But he also mentioned the Eden, the God's garden. So we can only speculate, you know. Seems either there are two different Eden, one in heaven, one on earth, or somehow they related. God in the Bible never give us the detail, but we know that this Lucifer was in the Eden way before who was in the Eden. Way before Adam, right? Whether they are the same place, we don't know. But anyway, the first person in Eden was Lucifer, not Adam, okay? But any time in a perfect place, when you sin, you suffer the same fate. This fate was chased out from Eden. He was chased out from heaven to the earth, and the earth suffer greatly because he's coming down. You will see, this scenario you will see again in Revelation mentioned that that you see a star fall from sky, hit the earth, and big explosion. And fire come out, and smoke come out, and darken the sky. And if you look today's, a lot of film reflect you know, our earth used to fill a lot of dinosaur, right? And all suddenly they discovered they all die in the same period of time. And many, it's a mystery why dinosaur disappear suddenly all in the same time. And now the theory says because one day a meteorite hit the earth, a big explosion, and the dust stirred up and darkened the cloud, the sky, and all the vegetation dead. So dinosaur, the lack of food, they all starved to death. So you will see when something from heaven hit the earth, it will create huge disaster. And the dust, the fire, the temperature kill everything. So that's the all the scriptures I can find concerning what happened on earth. Now you go into the following verses, you will see in the following, after the chaotic things, God's Spirit hovering over the waters. In other words, at that time, the whole earth was surrounded by water. It's very interesting. Today, our scientists send rockets or send satellites, go through the space, trying to find any place in the universe, water, whether in the Mars or in other places. So far, they couldn't find these planets or stars or whatever you can find water. Why people try to find water? Because with water, then you can find life. If there is no water, there is no life. So these scientists do a lot of search. But only here it says, this planet Earth filled with water and the Spirit of God hovering around the globe. And then God began to do something. And the first thing he mentioned was light. Let there be light. And then the question becomes, where does the light come from? At that time, there's no sunlight yet. The sunlight comes in only on day 4. So, what was the light? And the only explanation is, if you read 1 John chapter 1, you will see God is the light. See that? So, let there be light means God let his light shine on this dark water bowl. So there is light. And light and darkness separate. And verse 4, God saw that the light was good. And I also, in this verse, I also quote 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So, in this, Paul reveal another secret to us, that in the first day God's recovery, when God says, let there be light, you know who shine forth the light. According to Paul's explanation, see, in this 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, let light shine out of darkness. This light is from the face of Christ. Okay? So this is the biblical interpretation of the meaning of let there be light. It's from the face of Christ. So, verse 5. God called light day, the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So that's the definition of day. Evening and morning. That's definition. You only explain God's word with God's word. That's the definition of a day. And you will see day one, day two, day three, all this recovery process from day one all the way through day six. Okay? And on the seventh day, that was the Sabbath. All right. When you go to the next verse, God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water, water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above, and it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. So in other words, the second day, what's the job? He separated the water bowl into two layers of water. Water above and water under. Today use our term, what's water above? Clouds, right? That's a lot of water above. You know, that's why we have flood. When all the rain comes down so quick, then you have flood. So you will see a huge amount of water, God evaporate them to become the clouds in the sky. And something between two layers of water, that's called air. Or some translate as sky. So air or sky. That's how God separates them. That's day two. And then day three. And God said, verse 9, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters called seas. And God saw that was good. So that's the separation of land and sea. If you read Psalm 104 from verse 5 and 6, you will see another description of this process. 104, okay, verse 5. He set on the earth, on the foundation, it can never be moved. You cover it with the deep as with garments. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They fled over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. You look today's a map, if you can find the topography map of the earth, you will see the land, you will see mountains and valleys, but to our surprise, if you look at the ocean, you also see, if you remove all the water, you see on the ocean floor or ocean bed, you also see what? Mountains and valleys. It's so deep, right? So you will see that we discovered this only on the 20th century by all these survey team. They survey the oceanography. You will find Bible already said that. You know, water cover the mountains. How can water cover the mountains? If you go to the ocean, you will see it. So, and then you also see a lot of rocks were underwater before. And now through the rearrangement, the surface, these rocks already under the water now come to the, become a mountain top. So that's why you find all these fossils. They discover all these, they were formed in a layer format. In other words, they have different ages. They study the age of the earth. They told us these were the float ocean bed, and through the change of the Titanic movement, you know, all these plates, some was come to the surface, become the mountain we see today. Anyway, so in day three, all these things, psalmist already described a little bit for us to get a flavor of it. That's happening day three. It's all there. The water is there. The mountain is all there. We just rearrange it. And then the amazing thing is, in day three, after the land of water separated, then suddenly you will see, let's continue from 11, verse 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. Verse 12. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and tree bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. So, in this day three, there are two kinds of job God did. One is separate water from the land, and the next thing is the vegetation, the plants, the trees come out. So you will see, if the water doesn't removed to another place, these vegetable kingdom will not come out. Right? Once you have the land, the water is separated from the land, you suddenly see all these things come out. Right? And the important thing is this. All these things God has a command. He said, according to their various kinds, three times. What does it mean? Means if you plant tomato, will remain tomato forever. If you have a dog, will remain as dog forever. Tomato cannot be an apple. Apple cannot be a peach. These are all its kind. Okay? This is the principle. The principle of God's creation. Each has its own kind according to it. You know? This mentioned three times in day three. And from now on, you go to day four, day five, all the same, all mentioned. In first, the vegetable kingdom or the plant kingdom, and then you will go to the animal kingdom with the same principle, all according to its kind. So this is very important. You should hold to it. You know, in other words, if you will have a kids in the future, or you have already have kids, you're a mother. Have you ever worried about you will born something else come out rather than a human being? I hope not. Human being can only produce human being. Human being will not produce something else, because that's according to its kind. So that's very, very important. All right, now day four. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. So you will see, this is the beginning. God let the light, the heavenly body, to set the time and seasons. That is the purpose. Okay? So you read this, you suddenly realize, if you don't think carefully, you don't feel it. But if you think carefully, we all have a watch, right? What is a good watch? Not expensive. What is a good watch? Precise timing, right? You don't need a lousy watch, always miss 5 or 10 minutes each hour, then you throw it out. Time. Time is actually, it's a mystery. Think carefully, what is time? You know, time set by God. And you will see, He will set all these heavenly bodies for timing, for seasons. So that means it's very, very accurate. Right? You never worry about that each year is not 365 days plus one quarter or something. I don't remember the exact time. But every 4 years you have to readjust to add one more day into it. But in other words, every month, every year, every day, it's very precise. God said it, okay? Because that means after the shake, after the destruction by the Satan or Lucifer, everything was out of whack. Remember, I still remember vividly, in 2004 or 2005, the tsunami in Indian Ocean, the earthquake in Indonesia, the huge tsunami killed 230,000 or more people dead because of tsunami in 2004. I think that was the year, near Christmas time. Many islands, small islands, because of that huge earthquake, moved. They redraw the map because the movement. And also, they also tell us that the earthly time off certain seconds because of the shake. Remember that? So you know that everything because of that earthquake, the same way that happened a few years later in Japan, 3 years ago in Japan, same thing. The islands around the Pacific Ocean moves. They have to redraw the ocean map. Also, the timing was also off few, or maybe, I don't know, very, very, you can, only with a good instrument, you can measure the timing off. Every time there's a big shake, affect everything, the time. All right? In verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. So here, God let sunlight comes in. And because of sunlight, you have moon and night. So that's very, very reasonable. If this sequence changed, let the sun come in first, what happened to the plants without the protection of the air? Radiation. You see? Radiation will destroy all the plants. So God will prepare. Let the water go up, form the air in between, and then let the land come out. Then the vegetable plant kingdom come out, and let the sunlight come in. See, then these plants can survive. So this sequence is amazing. All right, I skipped day five. You will see the detail. You can find it. Now, lastly, come to human being. That's day six. Day six. This is the last key point concerning you and I. Verse 26. Then God says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 27. And New Testament, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 17, concerning the image. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether throne or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This statement was profound. You read it, you think, Jesus was so great, right? But think carefully. In this paragraph, Paul told us, in God's creation, not only include the visible material world, you know, the stars and the earth, the ocean and the mountains, all these things. He mentioned something else in this. Can you find anything? He said, visible and invisible. Thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, what are they? Huh? That's the principalities. That's the angelic beings' world, right? You don't see that in Genesis mentioned. Nothing about that. But here in New Testament, somehow Paul, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, he lists all these things, all created by Jesus. He was the prime. And he holds all these things together in his authority. In the visible world as well as in the invisible world. In the spiritual world as well as in the material world. Got it? He is in control. He starts the whole thing. And he holds them by his power together in him. And he also said that was the purpose. Everything created by him also for him. Got it? So, if that's the case, why he created human being in his own image and form? There is a purpose in our life. He created you and me, which is totally different from all other creations. He never tell a chimpanzee, you rule the world, you subdue the land, He only tells human beings, you rule the world. The whole world will be governed by you. That means we are something very different. We are separated from everything else. Because we are created after whom? Whose image and whose form? God said, create our image, our form. And among the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Which one represents God's image? Right? According to this verse, very simple. The answer is Jesus. Right? So that's the important thing, that we are created after Jesus' image. So based on this, let me ask you, what's so unique about Jesus' image and form? Image is his spiritual quality. Form is a physical quality. Okay? In other words, we were created not only spiritually we should be like him, also physically we should be like his son. And in Hebrew chapter 1, verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So here is another verse talking about Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, exact representation of his being. So in this sense, that Adam and Eve, let me test you with this simple question. Why after he sinned, he suddenly discovered they are naked? You mean he was blind, and suddenly after sin, his eyes are open, and oh, I'm naked. What was his clothes before sin? The glory of God. Now, how come he has glory? Very simple. Because Jesus, the origin of Jesus was with glory, right? How do you prove that? Huh? Chapter 17, Matthew. When one day Jesus took three disciples, went all the way up to the highest mountain, and suddenly, Bible said, Jesus changed. Changed what kind of image he showed at that time on the mountaintop. Shining. His face was like a sun. So bright, they cannot see it. Remember that? Huh? They were so scared. And that was the origin face of Jesus. And his body shined forth a light. Transparent, make his clothes transparent. The whole Jesus become such a shining body. So that means that's Adam and Eve before they sin. They are a glorious figure, right? After they sin, all gone. So they found out, naked. So they began the first fashion, Paris fashion. Huh? First fig tree leaves. That's their fashion. Cover their nakedness. That's how it goes. So men never really so-called evolve, evolution, getting better. From the Bible perspective, man is deteriorating, right? From glorious body, now suddenly body is gone. Now they are going to die and getting old, and that's how you and I, our life story. We are deteriorating drastically from generation to generation. And so, God gave them commission in verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on ground." So you will see these verbs. You know, you look at these verbs. Be fruitful, that's number one. Number two, subdue the land, rule over the fish. Subdue the land, rule over the fish. All these are in authority, right? Man was created for authority. You subdued the land. In other words, here, subdue has a connotation of conquer. Conquer the land. Subdue the land. In other words, here, human being, here you don't see the detail, but from the verb, somehow you can figure out. Before human being, who occupied the land? Satan, right? He was cast down to the world. So he became the ruler of the world. Even in the New Testament time, Jesus said, the king of this world is Satan, right? So he ruled this. Now suddenly God did something. He created Adam and Eve and tell them, you have to rule the land, subdue the land. What does it mean? Get back. This land originally belongs to God. He created. But now Satan usurped it. He occupied. So now instead of God chase the demon, chase the Satan out, he said, you do the job. You subdued it. You will be in charge all the what I created on the land, on the earth. So that was the calling God already revealed in the creation of human being. You got it? Mm. So then you go to New Testament. Let's go chapter 2, verse 7 in the Genesis. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So you will see this how God created Adam and Eve. He used the dust, the earth, to build this material body, but had any life in that body? No life. It's only material. Where is the life coming from? From God's breath. God breathed into his nose, and he became a living being. And some translation, King James says, living soul. So we have a living soul. That's what happened, okay? Let's go to New Testament record concerning this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 and 47. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, spiritual. Verse 47. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man from heaven. So you will see, in God's concept, there are only two men. First man was Adam. And the second man was Jesus. Okay? First from the earth. The second from the heaven. So that's in 1 Corinthians, give us this clear understanding. God never created anybody else. So, the last statement I want you to pay attention is this, the last paragraph. God's misspelled. It started, 少一个 t 啊。 Please put it in, right? I misspelled it. Started. S-T-A-R-T-E-D. God started with only one couple and no one else. This invalidates the chance that human is the product of evolution. If this theory were true, then there would have been many men like Adam from many lower beings. If there were many different Adams, then salvation for human race is not necessary. You see the point? If human being is a product both creation and then through the evolution come out this final Adam, then this process should be many, many Adams. Right? Sin doesn't come from one person. The Bible said come from one person. And then we all sin. If you have many, many Adams, then you have other Adams may not sin. Right? Then the whole theology in the Bible collapsed. So you have to see God only create one man. And he sinned. So we are sinners. And from that, we need salvation. So this is very, very crucial in our understanding. Otherwise, people always ask me, why not? You have two combined together. God can use both processes in terms of create human being, also evolve human being. I said, these two mutually exclusive to each other. If you have both, then you can have many Adams, not just one man. And Acts chapter 17 also said it. From one man he made every nations of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them, and the exact place where they should live. So this is another verse indicate clearly that God only created Adam and Eve on the sixth day. Very simple. So I hope I have concluded the lesson one. Time for discussion, if you have any questions.